Our next presentation is high-performance VR applications and how they drive high-resolution displays with MIPI DSi. Our speaker is Miguel Rodriguez, Director of Marketing of VR at Analogix Semiconductor. Miguel's Director of Marketing, VR with Analogix. He's responsible for the VR head-mounted display controller family of products. This includes DisplayPort to MIPI DSi display controllers, and they're currently being used in a variety of high-performance VR head-mounted display products. Please welcome Miguel Rodriguez.
Hello. All right, there we go. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Miguel Rodriguez, as was mentioned earlier. And I will talk to you about what we're seeing in terms of VR HMDs taking advantage of the MIPI DSi. So to do that, what we'll do is we'll start first in giving you kind of a view on the trends that we see in VR. So I will walk through some of these trends, how VR pretty much, you know, the early VR HMD cases, and how that's progressed and to today's VR HMD uses. We will see also the transition from to dedicated displays in order to take advantage of the MIPI DSi performance. And then we'll also walk through some of the requirements on the high end, as well as some of the mainstream VR HMD architectures. And we're going to touch also on how MIPI DSi enables all these use cases, how the feature set, you know, the roadmap on the technology, all that enables these new use cases that we are seeing for VR. So with that, you know, we're going to start here. You know, I think we're all familiar with the cardboard use case, right? This was first introduced in 2014, right? Some of us, a lot of us, I think, will remember that we could use our phones as a VR source to drive VR content through the display, and via a simple and inexpensive head mount with simple optics, right, you could have a VR experience. Now, back then also, a lot of us might remember that this experience we could only wear for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, right? Because, you know, although it was exciting and new to experience virtual reality, right, it came at a cost, right? The performance of the GPU, of the video being displayed, of the panels themselves, the resolution and refresh rates in particular, right, did not provide a very good user experience, right? But it did allow the masses, right, to be able to experience this and get excited about this technology and use case because it was inexpensive. It used your phone as the main driver of the content, right? And so it gave us a taste of what could be possible with virtual reality. In 2016 and 2017, we started seeing these tethered use cases for virtual reality HMDs, right? What this did is it decoupled the display from the graphics source, right? And what that allowed to do is it allowed the display interface to be able to provide panels, VR panels, with higher performance, higher throughput, and therefore providing a better user experience for virtual reality. This model also enabled the HMD to be able to connect to more powerful sources, right? To drive the content at the higher resolutions and at the higher refresh rates, right? And we've seen up to 120 frames per second for refresh rate. And so Some of the other advantages that this use case provided is the headset itself became lighter, right? And it became less hot, right? In the cardboard case, you put your phone in front of your face and all that heat dissipated, right? You felt in your face very quickly. In this model, by decoupling the displays from the source, then that allows the power on the head-mounted display to be controlled and to be lower. And recently, right, as this year, we started seeing even another use case, which is the all-in-one or the standalone. Now, this particular use case is somewhat similar to the cardboard, but there are significant improvements here. The first one being that is, first of all, a VR headset, right? It's no longer a phone on your face, but it uses phone components to provide the VR experience, right? It takes advantage of the dedicated panels that are lower in power and provide the higher performance. But still, because it is powered by mobile components, then there are limitations in the performance that need to be taken into account. Specifically on the high-end VR head-mounted devices, right? This is kind of the timeline that we've seen, right? In 2016, right, the three main VR guys, if you will, manufacturers, introduced their headsets, right? With the starting with the Oculus Rift, right, the HTC Vive, and the Sony PlayStation VR. As you can see from the capability, right, the resolutions are fairly low, right, compared to today's VR HMDs that are in the market, right? But, you know, it was significantly better than what was available with the cardboard VR, right? We're seeing some refreshes in some of these platforms, right? The HTC Vive Pro is available in the market now, as well as, you know, the introduction of this Microsoft mixed reality line, which attempts to provide the same level of performance as a high performance HMD from similar to Oculus and HTC, but at a price point that is more acceptable to the consumer. If you recall, these headsets, not only was the headset itself expensive, but also the sources required to drive the content were also expensive, right? And you needed both in order to get a good user experience. And then we are seeing also, you know, on the mobile side, so I put it here on the high end because this headset by Huawei can connect actually to both a PC and a mobile platform, right? And we're going to start seeing more of these cases as well. Devices that can connect to both PC systems with high-end GPUs as well as mobile platforms. The common factor or the common denominator between all these is that they all depend on the VR displays that are powered by the MIPI DSI interface. And so what I'm really trying to say here is that for the next generation VR HMDs, right, the requirement and the need for higher resolutions, higher refresh rates, right, higher color depth, lower persistence, all of that will continue to increase, right? And so really the higher immersion experience, user experience, is what's going to drive the requirements for the next generation VR headsets. And as we'll see later on in the presentation, MIPI DSI is already in place there to be able to support these demands on the display side. And we'll also review some of the other features that are complementary and that take advantage of the MIPI DSI interface in these applications. For the mainstream VR, which can also be used in the mobile space, right, the trend is a little bit different, right? And this is because in a mobile device, right, the capabilities are not as as high performance as in a dedicated GPU, right? Also, right, we have to take into consideration power, right, in mobile applications, because a lot of the times the VR HMD is powered by the mobile device, as well as, you know, the interface to getting the video and the data out to the VR HMD, right? And in most phones right now, that's a USB Type-C connector, right? And so if we look at today's requirements for VR, right, the resolutions are acceptable, right? We are seeing 2880 by 1600 at 90 frames per second, right? Which in a mobile application, this would take all the display bandwidth from the USB Type-C port, right? And on the MIPI DSi, you know, that can be matched one-to-one, right? But really, as you see for tomorrow and beyond, right, the trend, you know, is not as demanding as it is in the high performance, in that the resolution and frame rate requirements is not going to increase as much and as fast as it is in the high-end VR. But nonetheless, right, the combination of performance, level of immersion, and power dissipation will be key in the upcoming trends for mainstream VR that connect to mobile platforms. So with this, I'm going to walk you through some use cases, some block high-level block diagrams of VR HMD architectures that, you know, that we have experienced, and how MIPI DSi enables us to take advantage, full advantage of the available bandwidth to make sure that we can provide the best user experience that we can for VR. So in case number one that I'm showing here, right, this is what your current high-performance VR HMD looks like, right? We have the standard video connection to the GPU, which, you know, in this case is DisplayPort. And we have the high-speed data, right, that is used for providing data back to the host with regards to sensors, cameras, etc., so that the new frames can be rendered properly and sent to the display. Now, what we have on the this side here represents the actual HMD headset, right? And we have the, you know, the VR panels with a MIPI DSi interface, right, that are ready to take video. Now, in here, we have four lanes of DisplayPort, right? And we saw in earlier presentations, right, that the data rates that we can achieve with DisplayPort right now are 32 gigabits per second, right? And in order to provide uncompressed video to the panels, we have to be able to match the bandwidth on the output. Now, if we follow the video path here, right, at these high data rates, right, there may or may not be some signal conditioning needing here on the DisplayPort input of the DisplayPort to MIPI controller. But in this case, running the MIPI interface in C5 mode at 1.2 gigasymbols per second would give us enough bandwidth to be able to match the input to the output and be able to pretty much sustain video throughput uncompressed, right? And this data throughput is enough to be able to support the resolution, combined resolution of full UHD at 120 frames per second, right? So what does that mean in terms of user experience? It means that when you move your head, right, that motion will be, because the refresh rate is faster, that motion will be less perceived by the eye, right? And therefore, you'll be able to keep your headset on longer without feeling the need to take it off because of sickness or something similar. In this case, we mentioned that C5 is used, right? Why? Because running at the same actual physical rate, right, gives us an encoded actual throughput of higher than the actual rate, right? And in this case, that turns out to be, you know, over 32 gigabits of bandwidth. Case number two. In this example, right, we have similar except that the interface is now USB Type-C. Now, for those of us who are not familiar with USB Type-C, right, this is the new USB connector being developed in the industry and commonly being used. It has multiple what are referred to as alternate modes, right? Modes that are able to transmit video only or video and data. In the case of a VR application, right, there is a requirement for both video and high-speed data transmission, right? One of the advantages of this interface, right, is not only being able to transport multiple protocols, but one of the limitations is the number of high-speed I/O signals that we can receive, right? In this case, right, we are using two lanes, which limits our input bandwidth to 16 gigabits, right? And, you know, we know that on the MIPI DSI interface, the bandwidth can be matched, right? But the bandwidth itself could limit the resolution and the frame rate at the input, right? And so it doesn't matter that we can achieve, higher resolution here unless we can do something inside the controller to take advantage of that. So again, once again here, running the interface at 1.2 giga symbols per second using CiFi, right, we can actually use compression to be able to drive or provide compression on the input and uncompressed on the output by doing color space conversion as well to be able to drive the panels, right, at full speed on the output without sacrificing any resolution or frame rate conversion. One of the terms that you see here, right, is vertical blanking interval expansion, right? This is one of the features that I mentioned earlier that are complementary that can take advantage of the MIPI DSI interface. I have a couple of slides later on to describe at a high level what this is. But basically, right, this function enables us to pretty much enhance the capability of LCD displays with MIPI DSI interfaces for lower persistence. And we'll see, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next coming slides. I have a comment here that says it supports virtual link configurations as well. If you have been following the VR market trends, you would have heard that a consortium has developed pretty much an interface for VR that is aimed to maximize the bandwidth coming into the input interface, right, to be able to drive these panels with uncompressed video and provide higher resolutions and higher frame rates. This, by using or by leveraging the CiFi, this also gives us the ability to match one-to-one the bandwidth on the input interface to the panels. This is another case, case number three, right, for a high-end HMD. In this particular case, right, we are supporting even higher resolutions, right, 4K by 4K per eye or 3K by 3K per eye at high frame rates, as you can see here. Now, this resolution at these frame rates, if you do the math, right, it exceeds even the input interface bandwidth. So one thing that, again, that has been highlighted also in earlier presentations is the fact that both MIPI DSI as well as, in this case, DisplayPort, both support the DSE compression by the VESA workgroup, which in this case allows us to send compress video on the input and send the compressed video out to the displays themselves. In this case, the driver IC in the VR display panels would then have a DSC decoder and then be able to display the video on the panels. That's what we refer to as DSC pass-through. So once again, by leveraging MIPI C-Fi and DeFi, we can achieve this capability here for this use case. I'm going to show you this table here, right? You know, I don't expect you to, you know, read through the whole thing, but, you know, again, one of the key advantages that we see by having a CombiFi that supports both DeFi and CeFi, right, is being able to increase the bandwidth without necessarily increasing the link rate. One of the challenges that we have when we increase the link rate is that, one, we burn more power, right? And two, it becomes very challenging to route those signals in the small confined space that we have in a VR PCB. And so by implementing CeFi, right, we can immediately see the advantage in terms of available bandwidth to be able to achieve high resolutions at high frame rates with uncompressed video, right? You can see that with DeFi, right? You know, the lower we run the interface, then the less bandwidth we get, and of course, we have to use compression there. Now, as I mentioned earlier, right? By providing CeFi and DeFi, we get the flexibility for one, older legacy panels, right? And the new panels that support CeFi to be able to take advantage of this. And again, the resolution or the advantage in the bandwidth that we get, we can achieve without necessarily running the interface at a faster rate. So we don't have to add complexity to the PCB design. We don't have to add cost for better material to be able to support higher data rates. The existing data rates by using CeFi immediately gives us a bump in bandwidth to be able to achieve these resolutions. So I'm going a little fast here. I'm going to keep us on track, I think. So one of the things now that we've seen some of the benefits of using CeFi and DeFi and some of the benefits that we get, that enables us, you know, and now I'm talking analogics, for example, to be able to implement complementary functions and complementary features that can further enhance and take advantage of the interface, right? One of the, as you can see here, right, we have the virtual reality and augmented reality, right? And you know, you can think of a combination of both as XR, right? And so what we can do now, right, is we can develop innovative functions that can further enhance, in the case of VR and AR, the functionality to get the most out of the panels, to get the most out of the system, by just simply taking advantage of the protocol itself, right? We're gonna discuss some of these complementary features here, right? But basically, you know, we have a device that can pretty much that takes advantage of the MIPI DSI interface by implementing these complementary features. This is pretty straightforward, right? Scalar, we know what it does. But one of the things that you can see here, right? You know, this is the resolution of the first high-performance VR HMD, right? And you can see, you know, how that has grown in terms of data having to be transmitted across the MIPI DSI interface, right? It's a lot, right? We're not talking 2K by 2K panels, and shortly we're going to be talking about 3K by 3K and 4K by 4K, right? One of the challenges that we can experience by going to a higher panel is that, one, the source has to be able to drive the content for the higher resolution panel. In many cases, when that doesn't happen, then you'll get no video, right, at the worst case, or you get some sort of a letterboxing, right, a very small picture in this big display, right? And of course, that will result in a poor user experience, right? So in order for the display controller to maximize and take advantage of this type of panels and driving the bandwidth or the data required to drive this panel, right? Now we can put a built-in scaler in the controller so that the current content can be reused and take advantage of these higher resolution panels. So effectively, right, the source doesn't need to be updated, right? You don't have to wait for a source that can drive these higher resolutions. You can just simply use the current source, and with this built-in function, now you can drive the higher resolution panels and take advantage of the new panels in that way. So in this case, we don't have to match the bandwidth one-to-one. We can use internal functions in the DP to MIPI converter to be able to achieve full capability on the panels. I talked about vertical blanking interval expansion, right? This is another complementary function that we can now make use of because of the bandwidth that we have available on the MIPI DSI interface. In this case, right, if you have played with a VR system, right, you hear talk about judder, you hear talk about high persistence versus low persistence, right? And this is primarily more pronounced when you see an OLED display versus an LCD display. Now, both types of displays are used in VR applications. OLED, of course, is the higher performing display, but it's also more expensive, whereas LCD is more cost effective, but it also has a higher persistence, meaning that the display itself, the transistors, will not shut off as instantaneously as an OLED display. And when you have a series of images, then the result could be, right, an image that looks very distorted, very, very, with a lot of judder, because the at any given time that the lamp is turned on, right, the some of the pixels from the previous frame are still in the display. The display itself, the transistors cannot turn off completely, right, and this again results in a negative experience for the user. Now, there are why do we get this? I mentioned already one of the reasons, but one way to get around this is to make sure that we allow the panel enough time to shut down completely before turning it on again to display the new frame. The disadvantage is that additional blanking time requires additional bandwidth on the input, right? And we know that there's finite bandwidth on the input, and for uncompressed video, then this could be a challenge. One of the features that we've implemented, right, is what we call BVI. And what this allows us to do is it allows us to control the timing on the MIPI interface, right? By running the MIPI interface at a faster rate on the output than the input, we are able to transmit the pixels out on the C-Fi or D-Fi interface at a faster rate, right? therefore increasing the blanking time. And as a result, right, the system can now insert these black frames, and what you get is an impulse type of video, which results in a much better image to the user, right? And so this is one way that we can leverage the additional bandwidth on the MIPI DSI interface to be able to put a feature and function like this that will enable the system to take advantage of and provide, take advantage of the LCD displays and provide a user experience that is acceptable to the consumer. This represents kind of the same what I just talked about earlier, right? This is the frame time, right? On the input, you can see, right, that we have the normal image pixels with some minimum vertical blanking on the input, right? And so this is lower bandwidth typically. On the output, because we can run the MIPI interface at a faster rate, we can control the vertical timing so that now, right, during this time, the panel, the LCD panel in particular, has enough time to shut down completely while the device is transmitting the pixels at a fast rate. And so by the time the last pixel is transmitted, right, the lamp goes on and you see this instantaneous image without the effect of judder on the display. Now for OLED panels, right, this is not a required function, but as I mentioned earlier, there's still a lot of applications that are being developed now that still use LCD displays to accomplish this. This also, using this method, right, allows us to extend, the vertical blanking timing up to 50% of the input frame, right? So that means that, for this frame time, for any given frame time, we can actually extend the timing, configure the timing to be up to 50% of the frame time and still have enough bandwidth to be able to drive the entire frame onto the panel before the lamp turns on. And therefore, again, reducing the judder. This table also has some examples on the different types of resolutions and frame rates that can be achieved by taking advantage of the bandwidth on the MIPI DSI interface. So, in summary, the MIPI DSI interface provides all the necessary features that are required now, as well as in the next generation requirements for VR HMD headsets. Immersion and user experience will continue to drive the performance requirements of VR HMDs, right? So the user experience will determine, what kind of resolutions are required, what frame rates, right? And therefore, it will, we see MIPI DSI right now as having the feature sets to support those functions now as well as tomorrow. Also, intelligent VR and AR controllers can now take advantage of the bandwidth available in the MIPI DSI, as I showed earlier, right? And be able to provide complementary features that will keep optimizing and maximizing the interface, irregardless of the DisplayPort input or the source input, I should say. And then just the last thing, right, Analogix does make VR controllers, DisplayPort to DSI, and, we understand the feature set of C5, we understand the benefits, and we will continue to provide additional value add on our controllers to make sure that we can maximize and continue to maximize the interface capabilities. And then last but not least, if you want to find out more about the product and the features that I discussed, please feel free to visit these links and reach out to Analogix. Thank you.
Do we have any questions for Miguel?
I know it's late. I'm looking at you, Matthew.
All right. So what is the typical DSI link speed for a VR head-mounted display?
Yeah. So the one of the things that I touched on was the requirement for low power, right? And so because of this, typically the panels run at 1.2 gigahertz or less, right? Now that presents a challenge when trying to support higher resolutions, which is why CFI then provides a good benefit in that regard.
So rather than running at the higher speed, you run at the lower speed to save power.
Right.
But yet, because CFI can run a higher bandwidth at the lower gigahertz, you're going to pick up the bandwidth, but save power.
That's correct. We can still get the benefit, yeah, without sacrificing performance.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right, Miguel. Thank you. Oh, was there a question?
No. Last chance, Matthew. No.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Miguel, thank you very much.